This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, I share with you some of the most remarkable archaeological discoveries that have happened recently. They deal with both the Old and the New Testaments. The one I'm going to begin with is from just last year. In 2022, there was the discovery of what is now often called the Ishmael Papyrus. It was found in, of all places, Montana. The story about how it got to Montana is quite interesting. It was found in the home of a man who had acquired this papyrus fragment from his mother, who had visited Jerusalem in about 1965. She had obtained from a man named Kondo, who was quite a well-known antiquities dealer, in fact, one of the ones, probably the main one, who was involved with acquiring and selling many of the Dead Sea Scrolls at the time that they were found. So this man, Kondo, sold to this woman from the United States a small papyrus fragment, and it describes Ishmael on it, and it talks about something that Ishmael did. This is a very small fragment, but this is one of the three earliest known references to Ishmael that we have, and one of the three earliest known Paleo-Hebrew writings. It dates to the 7th century BC, or perhaps the very end of the 6th century, or beginning of the 6th century BC. To put this in perspective, this is before Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon sieged Jerusalem, and Jerusalem fell, as described in the book of Jeremiah. And for Latter-day Saints who are listening, this is just before the events that open in the Book of Mormon, where Lehi says that Jerusalem's going to fall, and he's been told to leave. This is about the time that this Ishmael papyrus dates to. And so it's an amazing find, quite an amazing find. The next find that relates to the Bible is the Nag Hammadi Library. I've mentioned the Nag Hammadi Library several times in the past, but probably haven't gone into enough detail about it. So its true import is readily apparent. The Nag Hammadi Library is called that because it's a small library of books found in a little place called Nag Hammadi, Egypt. These texts contain 13 leather-bound volumes, or codices, which is another word for early books, discovered by Egyptian farmers in 1945. These scraps of papyrus, these small little books, help us know that there were different kinds of Christianity that had already branched off from the main kinds of Christianity at the time. As a matter of fact, which ones were the main branches and which ones were not the main branches of Christianity would be very much up for grabs. Those who wrote the Nag Hammadi Library have a great deal of overlap with the New Testament. Why? Because about half of the sayings of Jesus that we have in the New Testament are also found in the Nag Hammadi Library. We also have other sayings of Jesus that are found in the Nag Hammadi Library that are not found in the New Testament. So this is kind of neat. We found new statements, new words from Jesus that we don't have in the Bible. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, if you go read the Nag Hammadi Library, which is readily available in English, if you try to find it, there are some things that you will see that are absolutely wonderful and that you will see immediately as being part of the New Testament kinds of ideas about Jesus, you'll also find some kind of odd, unusual things. And that is an indication that what we would call the Great Apostasy was well underway by that time. All right, on to the next great find in archaeology. And this is a discovery called the Tel Dan Stela of David. What's a stela? It's an inscription on a piece of rock or stone. And this particular one found at Tel Dan refers to King David. This fragmentary stela provides the first non-biblical evidence for the existence of King David. The Armenian king who erected this stela in the middle of the 9th century BC claims to have defeated the king of Israel. Now, apparently that claim was exaggerated, or if he did defeat the king of Israel, it was in a minor skirmish, because we know that the house of David and King David lived much beyond that time period in the mid-9th century BC. But the reference to the king of the house of David is quite remarkable. It's not often that an archaeological find makes the front page of the New York Times, but this particular find really did. And it's really fun and exciting because it shows that many of the things that we read in the Bible are proven to be accurate by extra-biblical sources. It's really quite fun. All right, on to our next one so that we don't run out of time. The next one that I wanted to talk about is one that's going to be a bit controversial for some, but something that's, I think, going to be well-received by Latter-day Saints. Let's put it that way. There was a stone that was found not too long ago that has an inscription on it called Yahweh and His Asherah, close quote. And so what does this mean? This inscription is quite a small one, and it was found in the Sinai, and it makes reference to the God of Israel, Yahweh or Jehovah. And it suggests that the God of Israel had a wife. This is not a Latter-day Saint inference. This is an inference of the scholars who have read this and studied it. It's called the Kentilet Adrud Ostraca. Ostraca is a reference to a broken piece of pottery upon which something has been painted or written. And this series of figures on here, it's apparently a figurine of God and a goddess, or a god and his wife are on this sheared or piece of pottery. It's quite a fascinating find. The next one that I wanted to mention to you, before we leave that, this is, of course, reminiscent of the Queen of Heaven that's mentioned in Jeremiah, but also of the idea of a mother in heaven, which Latter-day Saints find to be something that's been described by a number of Latter-day Saint leaders. All right, we're back again and should move on. Let's talk about Peter's house, which is the next amazing find. We believe that the house of Peter, where Jesus stayed in Capernaum, has been found. Why do we believe that? We believe that because it has on the walls a number of hymns that were written, and they were early Christian hymns. It also had a number of other things, like fish hooks in the floors and a church built over it, which meant that it was revered early on in Christianity. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. More about, because we ran out of time during our last segment, this find of St. Peter's house, or the Apostle Peter's house. It's believed that the home in Capernaum where Jesus stayed with Peter, Peter's home has been found. There are a number of reasons to believe this. The first and perhaps biggest one is that this was a revered site by early Christians. They built a church over this revered spot, over a small little home. Why would the early Christians do that? Well, it must have been a home of some great significance. We know that it was also the home of a fisherman, because there were many, many fish hooks that were found in cracks in the floors. We also know that it was by reputation the home of Peter, and we know that on the walls there were a number of descriptions of early hymns of the Christians. In other words, the hymns were written on the walls, and what would happen during the early days of Christianity is that before large churches were built, early Christians would assemble in the home of a church member or church leader, and they would have services, and the services would be singing a hymn. In this particular case, hymns were written on the walls so that everyone could see the words. And then people would stand up and they would describe their belief in early Christianity or their belief in Jesus or their personal experiences with Jesus in these early days was also possible. And after that, they would partake of the sacrament and then they would have more hymns or songs, and then the meeting would close. This is very similar to the way many churches conduct their services today. This early church was one that had special meaning because we know that it was a private home, and we are sure, once again, that it was revered by the early Christians as the home of Peter. All right, on to our next great archaeological find. This one is also really fun. And this is the Pool of Siloam. This is the place where Jesus cured the blind man. While watching municipal workers replace a sewer pipe in the city of David, south of Jerusalem's Temple Mount, there was an archaeologist by the name of Eli Shukran who noticed that the construction equipment had revealed two ancient steps. Shukran quickly notified his colleague, who identified the steps as part of the Pool of Siloam from the late Second Temple period, which is the first century AD. And his further excavation soon confirmed it was indeed the Pool of Siloam. And according to the Gospel of John, that's the place where Jesus cured the blind man. If you want to read about it, it's John chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Here we have the actual location of something mentioned in the New Testament. This is absolutely a remarkable find, and few places, I would say, better illustrate the layered history of archaeology in the city of Jerusalem than this particular one, because this location, the general location, has always been known, and yet this particular Pool of Siloam had been covered over by other work projects over time, and it came to be forgotten, but now it has been found again. The famous Siloam inscription that was discovered with it is now in the Istanbul Museum. It was discovered earlier, but the pool itself had not been discovered until just a few decades ago. All right, the next big archaeological find that I wanted to mention to you is another really fun one. This particular archaeological discovery, is Jerusalem's stepped stone structure. Jerusalem in David's and Solomon's time is something that has been difficult for archaeologists to really understand. But finding this stepped stone structure in the last few decades has allowed archaeologists to really, by following it, understand where the walls of Jerusalem were located during the time of Solomon and of David, and later on at the time of Jesus. The references to all this, the various sizes of the city of Jerusalem as they expanded over time, are now apparent. So this is really quite an amazing find. It lets us know what David and Solomon's Jerusalem was really like. It's the oldest part of the city. It extends south from Jerusalem's walled old city. And it has this wonderful aura about it, because as those who have been digging it up over the last 10 or 15 years can see, they are seeing the beginnings of the house of David. All right, let's move on to one of our final descriptions of the day. And this particular one is an archaeological discovery that is of major import. It's a cuneiform tablet known as the Armana letters. And it corresponds to about the 14th century BC. This is the earliest tablet that This is the earliest find that I've mentioned so far today, and it's something that was sent by a ruler of Jerusalem. And at that point in time, it was written by an official to an Egyptian pharaoh, and it suggests that in the 14th century, 1400 BC, there was indeed a city of Jerusalem referred to in this particular cuneiform tablet as Jerusalem. And it shows that there was also interaction between Jerusalem and the Egyptians, 1400 BC. This is quite remarkable. The final one that I have here is a siege tower, the remains of a Babylonian siege tower. This is the siege tower. I started off today talking about how King Nebuchadnezzar had become enraged by Jerusalem and its impertinence and had sent his army to siege Jerusalem. And it was just before this siege that Lehi and his family left Jerusalem. And the Book of Mormon narrative begins. It's also the time right before Jeremiah describes the fall of Jerusalem and everyone being led off into captivity. Well, we have now found the siege tower of the Babylonians that enabled them to capture and take over Jerusalem. This was something that was found by Hebrew University digs in the Jewish quarter of the old city of Jerusalem. And it was there discovered in the ashes a number of arrowheads. Remember, we're talking about a tower that was built a long, long, long time ago. If you date it from our times now, this is 2,600 years ago from where we are now. And this was a tower that would have been in place when Jerusalem fell. And we can date all that through carbon-14 dating. We find the description of the fall in the opening pages of the Book of Mormon. We also read about it in 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 9 through 10. I hope these examples of how archaeology confirms certain parts of the Bible to be interesting. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.